shores of El Pacifico. Bill Hendry.
Welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. And when I say truth is our... We're not kidding. We're not kidding. Although you have to see the entire show to get the real feel as to what we mean by it. When we say the entire show, what we mean is, yes, we're doing a radio show, and we are happy and in love with the fact that we're doing a radio show, but... If you have a backstage pass, you also see the between commercial breaks. You hear a 45-minute pre-show and all of the commentary, the angst, the drama, the anger, the tears, all of it there for you to witness. It's what we call a reality show wrapped around a radio show. PhilHendryShow.com with a backstage pass. You see that. You see over 4,500 hours of full shows going back over a decade. We have a video archive. We have miscellany, different character clips, interviews, TV projects, etc. We have a news feed that I go in and comment on occasionally, although I didn't go in there, did I, bud?
You should have gone in last night because there are a lot of people in there with a lot of commentary.
Well, I apologize, all of my backstage pass family. I What can I tell you? You know, I conked out. As soon as we got off the air last night, I was... Well, what was I doing? Last night I was doing...
Well, I know that Frank called you up. He said that you were doing a podcast. Is that right? What is a podcast?
You don't know what a podcast is?
No, I don't know what a podcast... What is that, Phil?
Podcast is something that we do. We do the free Phil Hendry podcast, which people get delivered to their pod.
What do you mean delivered? What is that? But speak English, all right? I don't know.
Yeah, be up on a different thing. You got to do it.
Well, I'm not up on the different things if I'm gonna do it. God. Bud, Siri, can I ask you a question?
What?
Is there such a... First, Phil, is there such a thing as graduating from kindergarten? Or?
No, there is not. Bud is doing the best he can. Let's just...
All right. But what? So a podcast is something that's delivered...
To your iPod. And we had two podcasts that we had to finish last night. We had the... Obviously, we had to load up our Lions podcast, Lions versus the L.A. Tan.
And what in the name of God is the Lions and the L.A. Tan? Is that a joke?
That is... I'm not going to... What do you... Have respect, man. Have a little respect.
Oh, okay, man. I'll have... What is he talking about?
You got to have respect for the L.A. For the Lions and the L.A. Tan. Yeah, you got to respect it.
You know what? I think you're three of the dumbest men I've ever seen in my... And why I'm sitting here is anybody's guess.
Well, only you can answer that. So we had a couple of things we had to load up last night. And then, on top of that, there was one other piece of business. I forget what it was. But, you know, then I finally conked out. Man, it was 3 o'clock this afternoon, and I couldn't get out of bed. You know?
Yeah, that happened a lot of time if you don't... Like, you're unconscious. You're not taking that Ambien, are you?
No, I don't take Ambien.
Well, what do you mean you're not taking Ambien?
I don't take Ambien, no.
What's wrong with it, Robert?
Ambien man's bad. Sometimes you'll be walking around, you're asleep while you're mowing the lawn.
What?
Yeah, I heard about that.
I heard similar things about Ambien, that you are still in a sleep state of some kind.
Wait, just hold on for a minute. I use Ambien sparingly, yes, but I use Ambien. And I can assure you I've never been walking around asleep.
Well, I'll have to ask your husband Frank about that. Yeah, let's call up Frank and find out.
No, you don't have to ask Frank, okay, smartass? I've never had that problem.
Well, but Margaret, I'm not saying that you have. I'm saying for some people there have been reports that Ambien is such a powerful sloop and deezer.
Yeah, that's what you're going to say, sloop and deezer. Yeah, I was going to say that.
Were you going to say sloop and deezer?
Yes, that's what I wanted to say.
What do you mean, that's what you wanted to say?
That's a mistake.
No, that's not a mistake. No, that's what it's called. It's called a sloop inducer. I know you probably thought I was going to say sleep inducer. No.
Well, that's what it's supposed to be.
No. Ask any doctor. Ambien is called a sloop inducer. So, there you go.
You're full of crap.
Well, maybe, Margaret, but you bought it. All right.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did. Now...
No, I didn't.
Can I finish?
I just want...
No, I didn't. Get off the microphone. Yes, she did. All right, so welcome to our program, 877-876-7445. Do you think we're going to talk about the debate? Yeah? Now? No? The reason why we're not going to talk about the debate right now is because everybody's talking about the debate right now. And everyone is saying how their guy won. Everyone's going to tell you how Barack Obama won if they like Barack Obama. Everyone's going to tell you how, what's the guy's name again?
Mitchell.
Mitchell Romney, is that his name? Mitt Romney, I don't mean any disrespect, Governor. For a minute, I honest to God, I did. I blacked out. And I don't take Ambien. I do take Unisom, but not Ambien.
Unisom, man, that's that powerful drug.
Really? Because I bought it over at the CVS pharmacy, so I don't know how powerful it could be.
Oh, that's over the counter now.
Yes, it is. When was it not?
Have you ever had a drug before it was over the counter, then it became over the counter?
Have I ever had a drug? Yes, I have.
Which one?
Benadryl.
Really?
Yeah, I had Benadryl. I'll never forget it. I had Benadryl when it was a prescription-only drug, and I think I told a story. I was in Florida at the time. I was living with my girlfriend, Mary. She's a great gal, Mary, wherever you are. It was great times. Thanks so much, baby, for those. Well, I better not say baby because she's got, you know, maybe married. Anyway.
Where you go, baby?
I think she's living in California, too. Anyway, so Mary and I had a house, and we had a nice little domestic life. You know, I went off to the radio station and did my thing, and she taught children. She taught, children who had a hearing disability.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, she got up every morning, went off to her little job, and we had opposite schedules, but we had a nice little life. But anyway, one day, Mary and I go off, and we have some dinner, and I had fish. And then that night, we came home, and she was going to cut my hair because my hair was like a mess. So we're in the bathroom. She's cutting my hair, and all of a sudden, I'm like, man, I'm itching like a son of a gun. She goes, really? Yeah. So I take my shirt off, and I'm just covered in rash. I got no idea what the hell it is.
Probably, was it chicken pox or something like that?
Yeah, what about shingles? No. It's none of that stuff because I didn't feel sick. I knew immediately it was an allergic reaction of some kind. I didn't know what. The doctor, when we finally went to the emergency room, he said, well, did you have fish? I said, yes, sir, I did. He said, that's probably it. You know, people react funny to fish. I said, this is the first time that I've ever had this reaction. And, you know, what I'm finding out now, seriously, when you're in your 20s, and I was 20, whatever I was, 24, 25 years old, when you're in your 20s, your body is both energizing and strengthening, but at the same time, it's an extremely vulnerable place because it's changing. You know?
Well, you know, they say that men, that's why men in their 20s only get testicular cancer.
Really?
Oh, don't panic, bud.
That's right, bud.
I don't want to...
No, R.C. Collins.
Yeah, R.C.'s good. He had a ballectomy.
What? A ballectomy? You know, that is so... I'm sorry I'm in the same room with your brain. A ballectomy.
Yeah. Look, just hold off the criticism. But when you're in your 20s, I really feel as if you have a vulnerability. You're right. Margaret's right. The young men in their 20s are susceptible to certain kinds of cancers. And I suppose every age has its own vulnerabilities. But people in their 20s seem to suffer all kinds of bizarre ailments sometimes. Staph infections that get out of control. I remember a friend of mine, man, he cut his finger at work. My God, the next couple of weeks, his hand swelled up to about the size of one of those... what do you call it? A Mickey Mouse glove?
But if it was Mickey Mouse size.
Well, the Mickey Mouse glove is small on a mouse.
But on a man?
It would be big, yes.
Yeah. So his hand was huge, and...
Well, that's pretty big.
Just never mind, man. I don't mean literally. I don't know. So, yeah, so, and there I am, and all of a sudden, what the hell? I got a rash. You know, it's like one day there's a rash, the next day you're fine, the next day... I don't get allergies anymore, man. In my 20s, I used to sneeze, and oh my... You go out and, like, back in those days, you go out and play baseball. Stand out in center field, and all of a sudden there's all these weeds. Man, I remember one day hacking my guts out there. So, went to the doctor. He says, yeah, I'm going to give you a shot of Benadryl. Never heard of it. Didn't know what it was, but I know that I got it in the ass, you know.
Got what in the ass?
Yeah, what are you referring to?
The shot, okay?
All right.
Well, people could be confused.
Only you, bud. And you're not even confused. They're trying to confuse me. I got the shot, two shots in the ass of this Benadryl, and went flying out of there. I was stoned, quite literally.
You were?
Yeah. I said it to Mary. I said, I'm high. You know, whatever that guy gave me, I'm definitely high. And immediately it cleared up. And then about 2-3 years later, what did I see? There's Benadryl on the counter, over the counter. So it does happen. It happens, infrequently, but it does happen. All right, so we're going to come back here and talk a little bit about a famous internet troll unveiled by Gawker this past week, and also talk about the Obama and Romney debate, so-called turning up of the tension. What I saw preliminarily was that Obama won, but I know that that was from CNN, and we know that they're probably lying. But then again, Fox is probably lying about Romney, so they're all liars. So, you know.
Well, then we'll try to clear it up for them.
We'll try and clear it up for them. Phil Henry here with Margaret Gray, Bud Dickman, and Robert Leonard on The Phil Henry Show, and we'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Those of you who are watching Phil TV in HD, you will see the picture there of Mr. Michael Brooch, a.k.a. Violent Craze. This man was called by Gawker the worst troll on the Internet. I don't know what that means, the worst troll on the Internet. But this man, Mr. Brooch, was the editor of a number of subreddits, the moderator on some forums at Reddit. And you know that we've done Reddit interviews. Reddit's a great site, no question. And they've got a lot of great people, a lot of them volunteers. Volunteers, you know.
So what does that mean? Well, a lot of those companies have volunteers. I don't think the reason why everyone's making so much money with these websites is because the, you know, there's two or three of them and they get everyone to work for free.
That's not a bad read on that. That's exactly right.
What are you talking? Get them work for free. That's because you hate the Internet.
No, I don't hate the Internet, you idiot. I'm saying it because it's true.
You know, but in a lot of ways, the Internet is like rock and roll used to be. In the old days, back when I was a young coming-up person, you know, give an example, man. That Altamont Festival in San Francisco, or any concert that they would have, they cloaked it in this kind of terminology. You know, like they cloaked the Internet now. Free speech, man. Yeah, yeah, it's free speech. It's really important. Well, you guys can come over and moderate for free, okay? And what the young people that are moderating for free don't get, this guy's 49, so I'm not thinking that this, the guy Brooch is completely naive. I think he recognizes, you know, they're getting my work for free, but hey, it's fun for me, you know.
Well, yeah, fun for him posting the pictures of women. I'll tell you something right now, Phil. If I had been anywhere around that man, I would have walked over to him and blinded him with my car keys.
Why in the hell would you do that, Margaret?
Well, you've got to assume he's taking a picture of your private area. You have, if you see him and you're a woman, you have to assume he's already got a picture, as Frank would say, of the goods. And excuse me for putting it that way, ladies.
Yeah, right.
Why don't you slow down, Phil?
Bud.
What if it's a 90-year-old lady?
I'm talking about women like me.
Yeah, a 90-year-old lady.
I'm gonna...
Wait, hey, watch it. Now, remember what I did? I fired him last night. Well, that's, by the way, welcome back, Bud, because I rehired him.
Yeah, thank you.
I will not have that, Phil.
Watch the commentary, okay?
I happen to be pretty... You know what? Forget it. I don't even want to... I'm depressed now.
Margaret, you can't get so upset just because somebody makes a crack about you being 90. Everybody knows you have a certain vanity, and they're going to make fun of you. They're going to try to pop that balloon, to put it the way you might.
So you're mocking me now?
Maybe I am. And maybe that's what this is about. And maybe you need to just loosen up a little.
Yeah, you gotta loosen up and get with the program and everything.
Fine, I'll loosen up. What I'm saying is I would assume he's got a picture of my private genitalia.
That's right, Margaret. That's what he's got. And you would walk over to him with your car keys and blind him? You'd stick the car keys in his eyes?
Yes, I would. And I'd have absolutely no guilt about it.
What makes you think you have a picture of the private area?
Because that's what this scum does.
Well, let me tell you what he does. What he does is he posts on the subreddit, or did after, you know, before he got outed by Gawker, he posted these pictures in a category called, or a subreddit called...
What is a subreddit?
It's a subcategory, okay, just for our purposes, called Creep Shots. And that was subdivided into a number of other categories, jailbait, underage, and some other terms that I frankly can't use. One of them is choke a bitch. Pretty savage.
Oh my God. A man like that needs to be in jail. He needs to be
take it easy. Take it easy. Because, you know, let me just give you the full lowdown on this. The pictures were of some of them underage. I don't think there was nudity. I think the faces were also pixelated or otherwise blotted out. I think the people had a problem with this man because it was just the topics were so offensive. The other thing about Michael Brooch was that he brought a lot of traffic to Reddit. He was responsible for lots of people starting to use that site. He discovered it himself, I think, in 2007. And Reddit today is called the front page of the Internet. It is a huge, huge site. It's as big, probably bigger than Facebook or Twitter. And it's quite a bit more complicated, too. And yet there's lots of people over there. So this guy, last week, after a number of incidences, one in which a teacher in Georgia was arrested or otherwise put out of his job, I think, I don't think he was arrested, because he had posted a picture to CreepShots.
A teacher?
Yeah.
Was this as of other students?
He took a surreptitious picture.
Oh, my God. I feel a physical pain. You know how bad I want to get my hands around the throat of scum like
this? All right, take it easy, okay? So,
Phil, quit telling me to take it easy. I want to hurt that son of a...
Dad, Marty, you're all talking like Joe Pesci and the Goodfellas. Yeah, stumbling, mama. Yeah, gotta take it easy.
You take it easy when you hear about young girls already victimized. And look at this animal. Look at him. Fat, ugly, bulbous.
Yeah, the picture I shouldn't say it. Here's the picture of, here's the picture of Mr. Brooch. You can see him there. He's not the best-looking guy in the world, but then internet trolls... I mean, never are. So the thing that this guy did that was the worst, in my opinion, was that he just simply had a very lurid taste in photographs. There were no nude pictures. No teenage girls were identified.
What do you think? Are you saying that it's okay?
No, I don't think it's okay. I don't think it's okay. I think that, now, you see, here's the thing. In law, they say that if you do not have a reasonable expectation of privacy, you should not be compromised that way. For instance, if you're driving through the intersection, two main intersections, you're in the middle of a city on a public thruway, driving in an automobile that is licensed by the state, driving on a license that is licensed by the state, driving on a street that may have been constructed by the state or the federal government, and there are public buildings. You don't have, according to the court, a reasonable expectation of privacy there.
Right.
However, if you're an underage child in a school, you, I believe, should have a reasonable expectation of at least this much privacy, that your picture won't be taken and put on a public site for all kinds of people, including the possibility of pedophiles and perverts, to see it and to get their rocks off.
Yeah, they don't know who it is. They're not going to be all, you know.
Whether they know who it is or not, whether the girl's face is known, the fact is she had her picture taken. And let me tell you something else, man. People can identify people other ways besides the face.
Yeah, they identify them by the types of clothing, the color of the hair. There are a lot of ways. If I can tell you right now, I would know Jason J. Delmonico if his picture turned up on CreepShots, and I know he's a boy, but if you don't think there's some creeps out there that want to cozy up on a...
Take it easy, all right? So,
Phil, if you tell me to take it easy one more time, I'm gonna remove a high heel, and that means...
Don't you do it, Margaret. Don't... She's reaching down for the high heel.
I'm kidding.
Yeah. So in any event, the reasonable expectation of privacy argument is that, yes, there should be a reasonable expectation of privacy, but not in public, not in a public place. If you're in a school and you're a child, now you're talking about something different. And one of the most dangerous things about the Internet that I've found, and I found this out multiple times, is that a lot of these people, especially trolls who are unidentified and proceed on their assumption about the law, most of these people are woefully undereducated about law. In fact, they don't understand it at all. They don't understand this law. They don't understand that law. They don't understand what copyright is. They don't understand what reasonable expectation of privacy is. They think they do because they've been talking to each other and they've all got each other convinced that they're all geniuses, and they're not. Now, here's a guy here who lost his job. Now he's on Reddit, and he was on Reddit over the last few days as M. Brooch, and now he's saying, I lost my gig, and I don't have health insurance for my wife who has diabetes.
His wife has diabetes?
Yeah.
Well, then why is he doing this in the first place?
Well, it's, you know, it's a good question. So he doesn't have a job. He doesn't have health insurance. He doesn't have this. He doesn't have that. He can't afford a mortgage for his house. And it's everybody else's fault but his. Typical sociopath, you know. Everybody's doing it to him. He didn't do anything wrong. He was just on the internet with things like choke a bitch, jailbait, and pictures of your daughter with her face pixelated in her school and this and that and this and that. We'll be right back. We got Romney and Obama to talk about, more of this to talk about, not because it's really important, but because I find it very interesting and I want to go over and look at the pictures.
Are you?
I'm joking, okay?
Yeah, let's look at the pictures.
Cut it out. All right, we'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Just to kind of wrap up here with Mr. Brooch, the world's the internet's worst troll is what they called him. I don't know, you know. To me, a troll that's really bad is a guy that is going one on one against somebody, and like that lady that drove that little girl, you know.
Oh, that woman that made that child commit suicide. Oh, that woman was horrible.
Yeah, that's you know, she drove that kid to suicide. But there's grades of it, and this guy was definitely a scumbag. If you're talking about pictures of, I'm sorry, man. You know, and he said after they found out, he goes, well, sure. He says, I've never been, I love how these guys talk when they're found out. He says, I've never been quiet about what I find attractive. Attractive? You look at this fat slob, and he's into your daughter. God, your 13-year-old daughter. He's got a wife with diabetes. He's got a home, he's got a job, he's got a mortgage, he needs the health insurance, but he's on the internet doing this. Now, what is this? This is what we talk about every night. This is a sociopath, because those people don't think they'll ever get caught. Those people think the future is already, you know, the future's laid out beautiful. They're so smart, no one will ever catch them. They don't have to worry about the future. Now this dumbass has been caught. Now he's complaining about the U.S. government screwing him out. You know, I don't have any insurance, and it's a terrible country. And the fact that he can't afford his mortgage. Somebody finally posted saying, you know, it's reasonable to assume in this country that if you get fired, you're going to need to have a little bit of a cushion, like insurance and you know, mortgage payments. And what makes you so special, man? Anyway, this guy's...
I think the man is going to go away. I think it's a wonderful lesson... not to act that way.
No, but my point is, most normal people are not going to act like that. That guy, being a sort of a narcissist, he acts that way. And he's working the room now. He's getting all kinds of sympathy from these dumbasses that are over on Reddit saying, oh, what a great hero this guy is. And he's, yeah, it's really bad. Finally, a couple people came in here. One guy said, and I quote, serves you right, you hapless fiend. Get a life other than trolling on the web. There is disability for your wife, and there's also Medicaid. You shouldn't have acted like a troll. You shouldn't have subredditted pics of dead kids. This is another one, pics of dead kids. That was one of his categories. If you hadn't done that, you wouldn't be here now. Now, would you? And Brooch, to his credit, writes, no, I wouldn't. You're correct. Somebody then comes on and says, must be easy to talk crap to someone behind a computer. I wouldn't be surprised if you've cyberbullied others over the internet. You're worse than what you protest against. There you go.
I don't know, man. This is a violation of the free speech. How about violation of free speech? This guy is taking pictures of a girl, a little tiny girl. I'm not saying that, but why can't he at least have his free speech rights?
Who's saying he don't have any free speech, man?
Well, they fired him.
Well, he's still there on subreddit or whatever the hell Reddit. He's still talking his crap. Hey, man, what you ought to be doing, dude, is out looking for a job.
Yeah, man, out looking for a job. Give me five.
I'll give you five. He ought to be out looking for a gig and not sitting there doing his dumbass stuff there on the internet, man. There comes a time. The world. What's the line that I like that Lil Wayne used against that lawyer?
Yeah, that guy's not going to help you in the real world. We know, Phil. We don't.
No, it's a great line. It's a great line. You know, he looked at that lawyer. He said, see that guy? He ain't going to help you in the real world. This crap isn't going to help you, Brooch, in the real world. So now you're out in the street, and now you got to find a job. All right, let's get back to the reality of whatever the hell. This, to me, is far more interesting. Although this is even more interesting. So I've got two stories that are more interesting than Barack Obama and Romney and this whatever the hell it is they're doing. Investigators visit a company tied to the meningitis case. Did you see this?
No.
What's meningitis?
It's a disease, man. It's a disease that I know someone that got meningitis. One of the people in sales at WIOD. Was it WIOD or where was it?
You said it was a KFI.
I don't know, and I wouldn't want to speak out of turn. One of the people in sales at a station I was at, and she'd been out for a couple of weeks, right? A couple of weeks. It had to have been months.
Yeah, I'm going to say, what kind of disease is only out 2 weeks?
She was out for a long time, and when she finally came back, I said, hey, I haven't seen you. What's up? She says, you didn't hear. I said, no. She said, I had meningitis. I said, you've got to be kidding me. She goes, no. And she went into the whole thing of what happened to her, man. She passed out, basically, in her home. Her fever and this infection, this terrible disease, this thing that, it's a viral infection, but is what it is. I call it a disease. But the poor woman passed out, and it was only by sheer luck that she was found, and she was rushed to the hospital. And immediately, she's now in a coma, and immediately she's put on fluids and antivirals and all kinds of stuff.
I can't believe it. And so what? Obviously, she survived.
Yes. Yes, she did, but not without a long hospital stay. Now what's happening here, criminal investigators from the Food and Drug Administration were at the New England Compounding Center in Framingham, Massachusetts, Tuesday, officials said, in the first public indication the federal government was preparing a case against the company linked to a deadly meningitis outbreak. Federal and state officials have said they believe that contaminated pain medicine from New England Compounding has caused the deaths of 16 people and sickened more than 200. And while investigators from the FDA's regulatory section have been in and out of the company's offices since early October, on Tuesday they appeared to have been the first criminal investigators. This was the first time there were criminal investigators on site.
What's that mean?
It means they're getting ready to prepare a criminal case. It means that not only are they in violation of federal regulations having to do with, you know, the preparation of these compounds, but there is a criminal case to be made.
Well, what's the difference if you have violated regulation?
Well, you know, a company can violate regulations by accident. For instance, a company can go over their limit in a certain way, or they may have not enough of something in another way, and it may have something to do with an oversight. And the result is not so much nobody gets sick and nobody dies, but that there is a shortage of whatever. It's more of an economic or perhaps a production line problem that affects other companies. But when you have a problem like this that now affects people's health and kills people, now your ass is up for grabs.
Well, yeah, you gotta go. But I think everybody gotta go to jail. Yeah, why don't they make everybody go to jail for all this stuff?
Well, you're gonna put a guy in jail, man, because what? Because he mistakenly dumped something someplace when he shouldn't have?
Well, what do you mean by mistakenly?
Well, I mean, I don't know, okay? I mean, you guys may have a good point. I mean, I knew a guy, and I shouldn't say, but I think I will. I knew a guy that went to prison because he was dumping toxic waste over the state line from California into Arizona.
That doesn't seem too bad.
Yeah, I didn't think so. It was.
Are you kidding me? That's absolutely criminal.
Yes, I'm kidding. Yes, I'm kidding. Yes, he went to prison.
Really?
Yeah, he went to prison. He went to prison. P-R-I-S stripe suit.
Where?
Up here in Lompoc. Up at the Lompoc Men's Colony up there. That it's a minimum security deal, but hey. He had a company. And he was this cat's business, and it was a very good business. And I don't know why the hell, you know, I can never figure people out. But anyway, he had a damn good business. What was it? He would go to your site, the site of where you were working, and if you were creating any kind of a toxic wastewater situation, if there was any waste material from the construction you were doing or manufacturing you're doing, he would take that toxic waste and quote-unquote clean it up. Well,
oh, so he wasn't cleaning it up. He was just taking it to Arizona and dumping it.
Right.
Why the Arizona mine?
Good question.
Good question.
All right, take it easy, bud.
I don't think that's funny.
I was just kidding around. So Yeah, they were taking over the state line and dumping it, and Arizona found out, and Arizona said, excuse me, can we just talk? What did you just do here, man? Well, you know. Well, guess what? You're under arrest, and your ass is in jail. Thank you, and good night. So they'll, you know, don't push them, bud. They'd be very happy to stick your ass in jail.
They're going to put me in jail.
Well, the FDA is a regulatory agency, but embedded within its section devoted to criminal prosecutions. The agents at the company Tuesday were from that section. I love all these law enforcement sections of all these executive branch places, you know?
Yeah, they got like a Justice Department got the FBI. Treasury Department's got the ATF. Yeah, the FDA's got the what do they got?
They have the FVI, I guess. What is that? The Federal Vaccinate? I don't know.
It's the, they have their own cops. They, you know.
What about the SEC?
SEC doesn't do crap. Now, I think now they've changed the law. Let me just finish the story. So the FDA does have a criminal prosecution section. And an agency, the agency spokesman Steve Immergut, confirmed that agents from the FDA's Office of Criminal Investigation were at the company on Tuesday, but gave no details. God, how do you like that? The agents from the FDA. You're under arrest. Why? Your popcorn sucks! Anyway, the office looks like suspected violence. By the way, FDA, seriously, are you guys, because I do have a bag of Orville Redenbacher.
No, man, you're going to get Orville Redenbacher arrested.
I'm kidding. It didn't pop all the kernels, though, and...
Yeah, why didn't they put a guy in jail on that?
Do you, see, there's an example. Why wouldn't they put a guy in jail for that?
You went, are you nervous again?
No, I'm not, but if I have any more of this coffee, I'll call the FDA. No, why?
Well, you're not going to put a guy in jail for that.
Aha! That's my point. You're not going to put a guy, you're not putting Orville Redenbacher in jail because all the kernels don't pop. Would I like to? Of course I would. Would I like to do that and film it? Yes, I would. Would I like to do that, film it, and release it for as a theatrical film? Yes. Orville Redenbacher goes to jail? Yes, 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 all of that, yes. However, it wouldn't be right. A spokesman for the New England compounding company, Andrew Pavin, said that agents had come with a warrant. Images of the entrance of the company cordoned off with yellow tape were shown on television. And Mr. Pavin said, we haven't done a thing. The feds, those flat-footed bums, haven't got any... No, they didn't say that. So late on Tuesday, the company's lawyer, Paul Sorrell, sounds okay to me.
Yeah, right.
Why doesn't he sound okay?
Well, let me put it to you this way. Do 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 do. Hello?
What's that mean?
I don't get it.
Yeah.
Don't you lie to me. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
You're Italian?
Hello?
Oh, well, of course. If he's Italian, he's got to be a criminal.
I didn't say that. You know what I hate? I hate how you characterize what I do after the fact. I went in character, I was being funny, and you took it and turned it into a racist moment in the life of Margaret Gray. It's unfair, it isn't right.
Margaret, did you not just say to me, well, I know, and I said, yeah, what do you mean? And you went, da-da-da-da-da-da. Didn't you just do that?
Yes, I did. I wasn't turning it into some race-baiting, anti-Italian moment. I was having a little bit of Paul Sorrell. You have got to be so disconnected from life and completely unaware of the millions that those movies did.
Well, okay, I know that The Godfather was a big movie. I know all that stuff, but I don't know that this guy's Italian, so if you don't mind. Anyway, later on Tuesday, the company's lawyer, some guinea, I'm kidding.
Oh, God, you're...
I'm joking around, okay? Paul Sorrell objected to what he called a search by federal agents, but said the company would cooperate. We'll be back. We got a break. World famous Phil Hendry Show. More here on the investigation into the company that could very well have caused these meningitis cases. The deaths of 16 people. This is serious. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, you remember that? Yeah, I remember that.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Don't forget, we're online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. You can get a backstage pass and watch our watch all of our shows via the our video casts, our Phil TV in HD, as well as listen to them. David G. Hall joining us on the line this evening, and I have some sense this is about what, David? Is it about the...
You know what it's about. I heard the guinea crack. I can't let that go.
Yeah, okay. So I guess me saying that I was joking means nothing.
I know you were joking, and I know that you didn't mean it. And I know that most likely we won't get any complaints. And I know that most... You better turn that down. Jerry, turn that down, will you? And I know that we won't... Who's stealing? And I know that we won't...
What are you, we playing poker?
That's neither here nor there, Phil. I'm just simply saying to you, I know that we... Can I finish what I was going to say?
Go ahead.
I know that we probably won't get any complaints. And, okay, now he's got... I'm on the line with one of my hosts, and he already knows I'm playing poker. What's the bet? Huh? You've got nothing up. All right.
Do you want to talk to me, or do you want to play cards?
I want to talk to you.
Well, you're playing cards.
I understand. Hold on. Steal me out, okay? Take that garbage fruit salad. I heard you say, or somebody called me just a moment ago, and...
May I ask who it was?
Yeah, it was Bud.
Oh, that's great. Bud, thanks a lot, man.
I'm supposed to do it. You told me to do it.
I told him anytime you use any kind of... If I said there's the big four. Guinea, well, you know what one of them is, okay?
Yeah.
I said the big four are the one that you know, then the S word, then Guinea, then WAP, Beaner, Taco Bender, and...
Stove Lid.
Nah, Stove Lid ain't one of them.
Wait a minute, the big four?
Yeah.
The N word?
Yeah, the N word and then the S word, which I don't want to use, and then there's the K word. The S and the N and the K. I don't want to use any of those. And then Beaner, Taco Bender, and I think it's either Stove Lid or...
Well, that makes about, let's see, 1, 2, 3...
Don't count. I know it's more than four, but I call it the Big Four. What's wrong with that?
Well, then why don't you call it the Big Seven?
Let me explain something to you. How many teams are in the Big Ten?
11.
Thank you. So
all right. I don't know. I mean, that seems like a...
Sounds like you got epilepsy going. Good God, I don't even want to see what was going on in the studio there.
David, you should have seen it. He was jerking his shoulders around.
When's the last time you had a neurological test, Phil?
I don't need a test of a neurological anything, man. I'm just trying to be clear on what you allow and what you don't allow, or at least what you think you will allow.
Well, what does that mean, what I think?
Because you can't tell me what to do on the air, man. You know that. I told you already. I said, back the hell off of me.
I understand, Big Shot. I'm just trying to tell you when you're running afoul of certain things. Don't you want to know?
I know better than you know. I know better than you know whether I'm running afoul of anything. Look, you're a suit. You sell radio shows. Go out and do it, okay? Quit bugging me.
I'm telling you, I asked Bud to call. If I go out there tomorrow and I'm out there and I'm selling the show and somebody says, yeah, I'd love to buy the Phil Henry show, but I heard him use the N-word or the G or some other thing. What am I supposed to say?
I guess what you say is, yeah, Phil's pretty freewheeling, you know, but he is a very unique talent and we'd like you to have his show and here's some ways that we can sell the show. You know, use your imagination, man. You can keep blaming me.
I'm not blaming you, but I'm just telling you, the big four...
And that big four, okay, the N-word, the K-word, the S-word, I get that. Then you added...
The N-word, the K-word, the S-word, that's three, okay? Did I say it's the big four?
Yeah.
All right. Then Guinea, WAP, Greaseball, Taco Bender, what is the other one there?
Jed Beaner.
Beaner, and Beaner Wagon. That's six.
So that's the big ten.
It's the big four, but there's ten. What difference does it make, okay?
And by the way, what do you mean Beaner and Beaner Wagon?
Because I've heard you doing a lot of shows with automotive shows, okay? And you had that punk kid, that R.C. Collins one time, that really bothered me, Phil. Because that kid, I know he's in a military academy, that doesn't give him the right to start judging some guy's ride. Now,
well, is it his ride or was it the kind of ride? That's what we're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about. Now, I got a poker game I got to get back to, okay? I'm losing my ass. And all I wanted to do was call you up and tell you. I'm not trying to tell you what to do on the air. I'm just trying to tell you what I got to look out for tomorrow. When I go out there and some guy walks up to me and says, yeah, I love Phil Henry. Thanks so much for the Beaner Wagon Hour.
And we're not going to do an hour. I don't know where you get this stuff, David. You know, the problem with you is you're always overreacting. You never look at the situation as it exists.
No, yes, I do. Yes, I do.
No, you do not. No, you always call up and you are blowing it way out of proportion. And you got Bud spying.
No, he's not spying.
He's spying. This guy works for me. Do you pay him?
Who?
Do you pay him?
Tired of my butt.
Yeah.
No.
Who does?
You.
Okay. Do you want me to stick his ass out on the street again? Because that's what I did last night. Because if I find out again that he's calling you up, I'm going to fire him. And I may sue you.
Now, come on. Phil, there's no reason to get tough with me.
I'm just telling you. If I find out this guy's spying for you, I'll fire him and I may sue you. How do you feel about that?
I got two queens. I'll see you later.
That's great.
Well, that man, you know, he is the most... He's an interesting man, and he's obviously a very successful man, but... There's something about him that revolts me and attracts me. And I haven't really felt that way.
Since that Greek guy, huh?
You're going to have to give me the green light at some point.
All right. Be quiet, bud. You haven't felt that way?
Yes, since the Greek.
You piece of... You think David's fascinating, huh?
There's something about him that's fascinating. I love the way he controls the situation. It's very exciting. I love the way he just, comes in and just, now Phil, oh God, any woman listening knows what I'm talking about. And then we have the aspect of him that is completely stupid. It's charming, it's endearing, I don't know how to say it.
All right, end of the hour. All right, I want to get back into this, and there's some comments that he made a moment, a beaner wagon, I don't know what he's talking about. Get R.C. Collins on the phone, okay?
Yeah.
And then get Harvey Weirman on the line so we can talk a little bit more about this meningitis case. And then get Frank Gray, because...
What do you need to talk to my husband for?
I want to talk to Frank about you.
Phil.
I want to talk to Frank about you, and we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Oh, yeah, get my cleaner on the phone. Call up the Jag dealer. Find out if I...
Phil Henry.
What? Oh, that was the noise. Okay, we had our fan on. I apologize. And welcome back, folks, our second hour of the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And we're here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, with the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, so they've given up. As if you didn't know, huh? Now, we have with us this evening on the line from Altadena, California, this is R.C. Collins, and Mr. Collins has been on our program before. He was on last night, as a matter of fact, when we had terminated you, bud. You'll be happy to know, or you'll be nice to know. I'm sure you'll be nice to Mr. Collins, who was on backing you up.
Yeah, don't worry about R.C., thanks.
No problem, no sweat at all. You know, it's the least I can do, bro. I was happy to, you know, step in, Mr. Henry, which is no disrespect on you, because you know, I really enjoy your program a lot.
And I wanted to ask you a question, R.C., because we had a comment earlier from David G. Hall. When you were heading up north with a friend of yours from the academy there, you were heading up for the summer, I think it was a few summers ago, to visit your father, correct?
Yeah, if I was going up north, I was probably going to go visit my dad, yeah.
Okay. Because you guys have your summers away, right?
Yes, sir. There are some cadets, some students who do board through the year, and they will board during the summertime, but there's not a lot of them.
Now, you were planning on heading north with a young man by the name of Ochoa?
Yeah, David Ochoa is a very dear friend of mine. He's also one of our sophomore cadets, and I was going to give him a break. And when I say give him a break, I'm an upper cadetman. Or upperclassman, I guess what they call it. Upper class cadet person or something. But and I said, oh, you know what? I said, Ochoa, I think I'm gonna give you a break today and let you drive me to my dad's place up in San Francisco.
And now, what does that mean when you say I think I'm gonna give you a break?
Well, that's the way you talk to an underclassman. Underclassmen are eager to make their name and make a name for themselves, make their mark, and get in good and everything. And so they're generally, you know that they do, and they have, but another thing is they got to respect the upperclassmen. So you've got to instill in them the respect, which then becomes respect of the institution, too. So when I went to Ochoa, I said, hey, Ochoa, at the time as a freshman, I said, Ochoa, I'm going to cut you a major break today. I'm going to allow you to transport me to San Francisco to drop me off with my dad. And he's like, yeah, I'll do it in a heartbeat and all that stuff, you know.
Where does he live?
Well, that's just it. He lives in Southern California, but he was willing to drive me up there because, you know, the next year I'm going to drop his name to, you know, like upper class council, drop his name to special ops, senior special ops, or upperclassmen special ops, and different organizations we have that, you know, is going to be a feather in the cap of any underclassman.
All right, so that did take place, and you were supposed to meet him.
Yes, sir. I know what you're getting at. I did agree to meet him at senior level parking at Bradley. Went there, and I told him at that time I could not get into no beater wagon, and that's. And I'm sorry about that. And
okay, so there we go. Beaner wagon. This is what David Hall was talking to me about.
Well, I'm not sure what he was talking to you about.
What did you mean by that?
Well, Mr. Henry, you know. I mean, you grew up around the bean culture. And
okay, before we get any further, let's not use those terms, you know.
Yeah, that's very offensive, man.
What?
That's very offensive, man. Talk about bean culture and everything.
I'm not talking about black people. I'm talking about Latin Latinos.
Don't make any difference, man. It's a minority.
It's talking offensively about people that have been talked about offensively for a long time. Okay?
But I don't mean it about to be offensive. It's a standard term that everybody uses. Everybody knows that. All you got to say is beaner wagon, and everyone knows what you're talking about. And a lot of times you talk about some of the sweetest rides you done ever did see. And
yeah, a lot of beaner wagons are cherried out. And you got,
hold on for a minute. Before we go any further, I don't want to hear you guys call them that anymore. If you want to say that they are customized, that they're beautiful cars, they're muscle cars, you know.
Nobody uses the term muscle car unless you live in some town like Minnesota.
Yeah, no one uses that term unless you live in a town like Minnesota.
Is that right? Yeah.
Oh, my God. Are you two idiots aware of the fact that Minnesota's a state?
What'd you say?
I said, are you two idiots aware of the fact?
We said two idiots. What?
Yes, you and this one.
Yeah.
Are you aware that Minnesota is a state? A state, not a town.
Well, I mean, that's okay. I don't think it's a big thing. I think what you're...
Yeah, it is a big thing. It is a big thing. Minnesota's a state, not a town.
All right, so it's a state. But the whole thing is, of what he was going to say, okay...
Yes, I'm waiting.
Is that no one calls a muscle car unless you live up in the Minnesota area?
Yeah.
In the Minnesota area.
All right, well, whatever. I'm just trying to tell you guys, we just wasted a whole lot of time on that question, by the way, which is a classic example of what I talk about from time to time. You guys got to get to the point here. You know, this term, beaner wagon, I got into trouble for on my radio show. Now, I may understand and know what you're talking about. You're talking about a kind of a car that is tricked out or customized by young men who are generally Mexican-American or they live in a Mexican or Hispanic-American part of the city, whatever city it may be. And they tend to have a certain taste in automotive as well as musical as well as a lot of other subcultural things. We're all different. We're all, you know, the result of our culture and our environment. Blah, 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 blah.
Well, if you know all of that, Mr. Henry, then why would you limit me? Because what am I going to call it, a Mexican car? You know?
Yeah, that's stupid. Why don't you call it a Mexican car?
I didn't say call it a Mexican car. You know, all you had to say, man, was that you didn't want to get in the guy's car because what? Was it lowered?
Yeah, it was. It was very low.
Okay, was it purple?
It had that kind of color, yeah.
Yeah, it had a lot of that metallic paint and everything.
Yeah, did you see it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it had kind of metallic paint. It had a little... Some of that placas, you know, that writing that on the back windshield, it said, you know, love to Snoopy or something like that, you know.
Okay. And did he have the chi-chi balls and did he have the rims? Did he have the whole thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then why can't you?
Call it a beaner wagon.
See, Mr. Henry, you know what we're talking about.
I know what you're talking about. I just don't like the term. And that's why I'm saying to you, find another way to describe it. I always call those cars car club type cars. They're stylized, they're customized, they're super customized, they're you know, They may, I don't know, you know, but to characterize it that way is very, I got to be honest with you, very old school. You know, that sounds like something my generation would say.
Well, no, I mean, we don't say stuff like blood vessel. That's for black guys.
Okay, if you don't know what I'm talking about and you keep busting this stuff out, then I'm not going to have you on the show anymore.
Sir, I'm not here, Mr. Henry, to try to be offensive. I would never do it.
You're making him cry.
RC, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, man, okay?
Okay. I'm sorry, sir. I don't mean to cry. That's not very manly of me.
All right, man. I didn't mean to yell at you, okay?
It's okay. I'm sorry, Mr. Henry. I didn't mean to disgrace Bradley Military Academy about talking about a beater.
All right, okay, pal. All right, I you know, it's just, it's, and I didn't mean to yell at you, all right?
No, it's okay, Mr. Henry. We learned that we got a man up when we're in Military Academy. I was just talking about when I saw Dave's car. I said, I'm going to get no beater wagon.
All right, pal. I can you remember not to call it that?
Yes, sir. I won't call it that anymore, sir.
Yeah. Hey, RC, okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Okay. Can we call it like a taco wagon?
What about that?
No, not that.
Okay.
You fine now?
Yeah, I feel a lot better.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys. And I just, when we talk about these things, they are rather arcane.
Yeah, sure.
Get him out of here. The hell was he watching anyway? I got one guy playing poker, and what was that?
I don't know. I think it's probably some like, maybe not, it wasn't that debate.
Well, let's talk about the debate, huh? Let's get into an adult conversation, shall we? Sure, this is a talk show. We can do adult stuff, can't we? I guess. We'll be back. Phil Henry Show with some adult conversation. Harvey Wireman will be joining us along with Frank Gray, and we'll talk politics. We'll talk the debate, see if anybody actually made any sense tonight. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth.
We may be making all the
bitch.
Sense that anybody's making.
The Phil Henry Show.
I think you make more sense on any given night than Mitt Romney.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, I'm going to tell what you said.
Go ahead, and if you use that word.
You said that you got...
He got aroused.
Got aroused by Tipper Gore.
No, I did not say that. I was kidding, okay?
Yeah, you always say you're kidding, man.
Yeah, I heard what you said, Phil. You said Tipper Gore. You like those blondes with big asses. Now, you said that...
Just come on and have some class. I'm talking to my audience here tonight, okay? Isn't there anything that we can keep off of the air between us friends?
Phil, you said truth is your bitch, and that's what I think this is about.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, we're going to get it all out like that guy Violent Acres.
Violent Acres? Look, there's truth, and then there's overkill. There's truth, and then there is TMI. There's truth, and then there is just the lascivious spilling of meaningless... It's like dumping toxic waste. It's not doing anybody any good. It's just a lot of stuff that's nobody's business. That's got nothing to do with anybody. How dare you?
But you did say it.
Maybe. All right, now, Obama, Romney, turn up the tension in the second presidential debate. My close personal friend here, Mr. Northcraft, was telling me that he was watching it. I didn't.
Why would you not watch the debate?
Because I didn't watch the debate, okay? Because, I'm telling you, I've got all the information I need on these two candidates. I don't need to see how fast one guy is on the answer over another guy. If this was College Bowl, okay. If this was a tip-off in basketball, okay. If this was a face-off in hockey, okay. It's the President of the United States, so I don't need to see how fast he is on the draw and how more manly he looks. I'm not into that, okay? People, I got to be honest with you, and I shouldn't say this, but I think people that watch these presidential debates are more into how sexy and exciting these guys are than what it is they're saying. Now, I've heard what they've had to say. I've seen their records. The fact that they were walking around the ring there, whatever the hell you want to call it, like they were about ready to kick each other's asses, I think that goes to the gladiatorial, what is the word? You know, the prurience that we have for that kind of thing. So here is just a snippet. And when I say snippet, I mean, it's Candy Crowley, so.
Can't be that small.
Watch it, bud, will
you? That, you know, you are a rude piece of...
Oh, mine's good. It was there. You teed it up.
Hey, look, man, I ain't here setting you up for joke. Here we go. Here's a part of the debate.
For you.
Governor Romney, I am an undecided voter because I'm disappointed with the lack of progress I've seen in the last 4 years.
Uh-huh.
However,
sounds like you're decided.
I do attribute much of America's economic and international problems to the failings and missteps of the Bush administration. Since both you and President Bush are Republicans, I fear a return to the policies of those years should you win this election. What is the biggest difference between you and George W. Bush? And how do you differentiate yourself from George W. Bush?
Great.
Thank you, and I appreciate that question. Can I just make sure that
I think I was supposed to get that last answer, but I want to point out that I don't believe. I want to make sure our timekeepers are working.
The timekeepers are all working, and all let me tell you that the last part, for the two of you to talk to one another, and it isn't quite as ordered as you think. But go ahead and use this 2 minutes any way you'd like to. The question is on the floor.
I just note that I don't believe that bureaucrats in Washington should tell someone whether they can use contraceptives or not. And I don't believe employers should tell someone whether they could have contraceptive care or not. Every woman in America should have access to contraceptives. And the president's statement of my policy is completely and totally wrong.
Governor,
let me come back and answer your question. President Bush and I are different people, and these are different times. And that's why my five-point plan is so different than what he would have done.
Oh, God, it's five-point plan.
We can now, by virtue of new technology, actually get all the energy we need in North America without having to go to the Arabs or the Venezuelans or anyone else. That wasn't true in his time. That's why my policy starts with a very robust policy to get all that energy in North America.
Will you turn that? Hold on for a minute.
Number two.
Hold on for a minute. Would you? Hey, Robert, hold on, will you, for crying out? What are you doing?
I just wonder what that button did.
He's trying to cause problems.
Well, Margaret, first of all, you're commenting in the middle of this thing. I want to hear what he has to say.
I just wonder about that button.
Don't push buttons.
Sorry.
Yeah, sorry now, man. What the hell is that?
Sorry, I was trying to turn it off.
Okay, now is it turned off?
Yes, sir.
Continue.
Bush didn't. I'm also going to dramatically expand trade in Latin America. It's been growing about 12% per year over a long period of time. I want to add more free trade agreements so we have more trade. Number three, I'm going to get us to a balanced budget. President Bush didn't. President Obama was right. He said that that was outrageous to have deficits as high as $500 billion under the Bush years. He was right. But then he put in place deficits twice that size for every one of his 4 years. And his forecast for the next 4 years is more deficits.
Hold on.
Almost that large.
Hold on. Hold on. Who belched? Who belched?
Not me.
Well, who do you think, Phil?
Am I not allowed to belch?
One more noise out of you, man, and I swear to God. Continue.
So that's the next area I'm different than President Bush. And then let's take the last one, championing small business. Our party has been focused on big business too long.
I came through
small business. I understand how hard it is to start a small business.
Sorry.
That's why everything I'll do is designed to help small businesses grow and add jobs. I want to keep their taxes down on small business. I want regulators to see their job as encouraging small enterprise, not crushing it. And the thing I find most troubling about Obamacare, well, it's a long list, but one of the things I find...
You know, if you guys keep screwing around, I'm going to go back, I'm going to start this all over again, and now we're going to listen to it all over again. That's what you just did, bud.
Well, that's fine with me. I'd like to hear it, and there are people out there that want to hear it.
But I do!
The Mexican music, the this and the that, and the dive alarm and all that.
And what's the dive alarm?
What's the dive alarm? Here's the dive alarm so you'll know. That! Give me a pain. Now we're starting all over again.
Well, yes. That when you go out and talk to small businesses and ask them what they think about it, they tell you it keeps them from hiring more people. My priority is jobs. I know how to make that happen. And President Bush had a very different path.
Okay. Okay.
May I listen to it at least?
I didn't do anything.
Robert, what's with the crickets?
I don't know. Somebody opened a window or something. Yeah, that's probably what it was.
I'm going to kill somebody, so help me. All right, now we're starting all over again because of you, man. Here is President What's-His-Name and President and Governor What's-His-Ass, and here they are talking a bunch of crap. Who knows?
When I started,
But we have been digging our way out of policies that were misplaced and focused on the top doing very well and middle-class folks not doing well.
God.
Now, we've seen 31 consecutive months of job growth, 5.2 million new jobs created. And the plans that I talked about will create even more. But when Governor Romney says that he has a very different economic plan, the centerpiece of his economic plan are tax cuts.
Okay. All right, that's it.
I don't know doing it.
I'm hearing a wood chipper. I'm hearing doorbells. I'm hearing crickets. What's the story here?
Well, somebody's hitting buttons.
I know who's doing it. It's that one over there.
All I did was, it said crickets, okay?
Yeah, uh-huh, okay.
And I pushed the button, but I didn't think it was on the air.
You're a liar, man. You know that? You knew it was going to be on the air. Get that out of here, will you?
Sorry. That was me. I did that.
You know, people want to hear this, man, to try to figure out who the hell it is they want to vote for, man. Maybe they, if they don't hear this stuff, they're going to find...
That's because you're boring people. I got to,
Let me just read what I have here. Obama, Romney, turn up the tension. They turn up the heat. They turn something up, man. They turned on, they tuned in, and they dropped out. Anyway, President Obama strove to make up for lost ground with a feisty debate performance Tuesday night, which he and Mitt Romney, standing mere feet apart, challenged each other pointedly over everything from the economy to Libya. The president took pains not to repeat them. Look at that lady that was just talking there at the beginning, saying that she does not want to see a repeat of the Bush policies. Well, what is she talking about? And she's not happy with Obama. So I got to say that that's one thing, that there's only one thing that Bush and Obama had in common, and that was the very tough internet. Now, a lot of people don't get this quite as well as they should. The very tough international stance that the country is taking in relation to what the rest of the world thought would happen after Obama got elected. After Obama got elected, they thought that we were not going to engage in the kind of strident talk that we had going on during the Bush years, and that ain't the case. We went out, we killed bin Laden. We've gone after Al-Qaeda. We're not going to sit still. I realize that there are people upset with the attacks in Libya and so forth. It's a different world, you know, than the one that George Bush was dealing with. However, having said all of that, that woman is unhappy with Obama and she's unhappy with Bush. Who the hell is she going to vote for?
Probably going to vote Tommy.
No, I think she's most likely an Obama fan and she will vote for Obama. You could say she was going after the Republicans. I think that was just her being upset and probably on the ring.
What?
I think she was on the ring.
She was what?
I think she's on the ring.
She's on the ring.
On the ring?
What is that?
No, Margaret, it's okay.
Looks like it might be some, like you wiped with it.
Wiped with anything, man. There's a mark on my shirt. God, what a couple of whack jobs. All right, back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show as we talk here about the debate tonight. Time for a Phil... Now, that's what we ought to use that dive alarm for. Time for a Phil Henry moment of perspective. What do you think?
No.
Well, it's better than you blowing that thing off every time these cats are out there talking, when Bush and, when Romney and Obama.
Well, you're still stuck with President Bush.
Let me explain something here. That lady that stood up there in that debate and she said that I have not been happy over the last 4 years with President Obama and President Romney, I don't want to vote for you because I'm afraid you're going to extend the policies of George Bush because I think he's the guy that got President Obama in trouble. That woman is... an American and a voter, but she is of what I would call a small percentage of voters. She is a progressive liberal, which is a fairly far left part of the American political spectrum. A progressive liberal. She's out there on the left, man. She ain't a commie. You know, she's not a Marxist-Leninist, but she's very liberal. And she, for her part, is the exact opposite or the flip of the mirror, the flip of the coin from... the far-right conservative. He's not a militia type, he's not a fascist, but he's a very far-right, socially conservative, economically conservative individual. Now, both of those people are completely outside the bulk and the mainstream of American voters. And while they're loud and while they want to be heard and while in all of their hubris they think they represent the whole damn thing, they don't represent jack squat. Okay?
Well, Phil, I think that's very, very presumptuous.
Hold on, hold on, hold on. I'm not saying they're bad people, but they simply do not represent the bulk of the American people. That's all there is to it. And if you are one of those people, anybody listening to me tonight, God bless you, you don't represent anybody. No one cares, man. Now, you talk about Obama. President Obama got elected president. And I'll say this until I die. I said it before he got elected. I said, this guy's far more of a pragmatist than a lot of people give him credit for. They think they're going to be electing some cat who's some flower child, man. They think they're going to elect some guy who is, that the far left, the progressive liberals now have their man. They didn't have their man. They didn't have anybody even close to that. All these people, I'll never forget, who was that dumbass up there in San Francisco? Code Pink, remember those people?
Code Pink, dumbass? Code Pink was one of the few courageous groups of women fighting for truth in this country. And Phil,
hold on. Code Pink was up there talking about, hey, Michelle, why don't you convince the president, a little pillow talk, and she thought she was, that Barack Obama was like one of their people or something. Obama was a Democrat, a liberal Democrat, but nonetheless a pragmatic liberal Democrat who was president of the United States and is president of the United States. Now, let me say this. When Al-Qaeda attacked New York, you know the quote, you saw the TV clip, President Bush said justice will be done. Now, when bin Laden was killed, and I've seen it a million times, people must have taken note of this, President Obama came out and he said justice has been done. Why did he say that? Because he was completing that narrative. He was completing the statement of President Bush. He was mindful of the historical thread. He was mindful of this narrative between presidents, and he wanted to reinforce it, and he wanted to give it historic. He wanted to give it a little historical, dramatic punch. He was honoring President Bush. He was honoring him. Now, the dumbasses on the right, the far right people, they don't want to give him credit for that. They think they know better. They haven't been dumber. And the dumbasses on the left, he's just a traitor, and she's very disappointed because he didn't go and, there wasn't just rainbows and pink elephants for everybody, and Obama's nothing more than a warmonger himself because he this, that, and something else. He's an American president. He's not some flower power cat, and he's not some right-wing militia ass. He's an American president, and when you become president of the United States, you're no longer necessarily a part of a political party. You're the leader of a country, and sometimes you do things that piss off your own party, and that's just tough. But I thought when he said, justice has been done, it was a moment where he honored President Bush. Because he could have said, if he was the douchebag that everybody thinks he is, he could have said, hey, look what we did, huh? And Bush didn't have nothing to do with it. He never did that. He invited President Bush to the memorial at the towers. Remember that? Now, I'm not talking about the anniversary, but when bin Laden was killed, wasn't there some kind of a...
I think there was some sort of a ceremony.
And he invited President Bush. He invited President Bush to share this moment. And Bush said, no, I'm down. No, it's not my time. It's your time. But President Obama extended a hand to him. Now, this is the president that I've seen. Do I like everything that he suggests? When I look into it and I dig into it and I don't just react because I think I'm a member of a political party, I see stuff that I like. I see stuff that I don't like. I didn't know a damn thing about health insurance. I didn't know a damn thing about national health care. I didn't know anything about really what drove it, what powered it, financed it, how much it really cost, how much health care in general cost, until I was forced into looking at the question by this national debate. And what I found was, as an objective person, it ain't a bad idea. It ain't a bad idea, given the fact, given the money that we spend, given the fact there are people that can't afford it, given the fact that And the people that can't afford it have some of the, and if they're conservative voters and they can't afford health insurance, they've got some of the stupidest reasons I ever heard in my life. Well, I can't afford it, but that's okay. I don't want somebody else to pick it up. So what you're just going to do is, let's see, you're just going to, when something, like your children, something happens to you, you'll just not have any health insurance. Is that it? Yeah, well, you know, that's the breaks. That's America. Well, aren't your kids lucky to have you as a dad? Throw yourself on the mercy of an emergency room receiving unit, huh? Throw yourself on the mercy of an ambulance crew. That's great. But that's just me. Now, am I saying that Obama is the greatest thing to hit America since George Stinkin' Washington? No. You know, do I think he's even as good a president as President Bush? I don't think anybody's had to put up with the challenges Bush had to put up with. I don't know. I'm not willing to make that judgment because the history has to play out a little bit more. But I will tell you this. President Obama, this guy here, Phil Henry, I want all the presidents to succeed. That's the kind of American I am. I ain't saying I'm better than anybody. I just don't get it, you know. When I'm sitting out here in America, it's my country. And that's my president. I don't give a damn who he is, whether he's a Democrat or Republican. I don't want to see that guy fail. I want to see our country do well. I want to help wherever I can. I want to see, and if the guy's saying something that's bad and I don't dig it, then I got to say I disagree with that, sir. You know, I think you're taking us down the wrong road. But I haven't seen, given the stuff that's been going on in this country since 2008, let's forget about Bush for a minute, just the stuff that's going on, I haven't seen Obama making too many bad moves here. I'm looking at a president facing unprecedented calamity the same way Bush did, problems that no other president had to face. I mean, I'm telling you, problems no other president has ever had to face. We were threatened with a worldwide economic meltdown. Isn't that what they called it?
Well, they were afraid the entire economy of the world was going to collapse.
The entire economy of the world was going to collapse. Is that all?
Man, to me, that sounds like a bad thing. Yeah, well, the other guys should have had to face up to that.
Who?
What about Roosevelt?
Roosevelt, this is what, listen to me, bud. We were talking about a worldwide economic meltdown that could happen within months and was going to make the Depression. There wasn't going to be any money left because nobody knew how bad it was. With the Depression, with the stock market crash, we at least knew the value of these stocks and bonds that had been purchased and that had suddenly lost all value. But with this thing that happened in 2008, we had no idea how much was out there because these were toxic, so-called toxic assets that had been bundled and sold, all the way on down the line. Some of the companies that sold them originally weren't even in business anymore. He had to get together with the leaders of the world, the Western world, the secretaries of the treasuries, the various ministers of the treasuries, talk with it. President Bush, he was up against an enemy that butchered up 3,000 people. This hadn't happened since Pearl Harbor. These two presidents have had to face down some pretty tough stuff. This American here, I want to see my country do well. I want to see America last for thousands of years, man. I want to see this country get better and bigger and badder ass. And the red, white, and blue forever for me, man. And if that means I don't give a damn who's president, and I ain't going to talk about the president like he's some piece of crap. Some of these people, man, I want to kick the crap out of them. I don't care if they're talking about Bush or Obama. The way they talk, I don't even think they're Americans.
What are you talking about, man? I mean, you got a right to free speech.
Yeah, you got a right to free speech. Some of these people are so over the top talking about a president because he's a liar and he's a scumbag and he's a this and that. They show me more about what's wrong with them than they show me about what's wrong with the president. We got a lot of embittered, unhappy people who just project all that crap onto anybody 99% of the time, the president.
Yeah, you can't say that Obama is going to be good when he's going to have, how much is health care going to cost, everything like that?
You know, bud, you shouldn't even ask these questions because you're nowhere near educated enough to engage in the discussion.
Yeah, I am.
Oh, really? So let me ask you this. How much... Never mind.
Well, go ahead, ask him.
No, because I don't even know.
Yeah, see, you don't even know.
See, yes, I do. I don't want to waste my time.
Okay, how much does it cost for a country to have health care?
What? You can't ask a question like that.
Well, it's going to cost billions. We know that.
Yeah, see? Billions.
How much does it cost for Americans to get health care right now? How much does health care cost this country every year?
A billion?
A billion? Dude, you're way off, man. Way off.
Is it less?
No, man, it's not less. It's way, 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 way more.
More? $1 billion more than a billion? Ha, 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 ha. You're gonna be crazy.
You know what? You're an idiot. You're just an idiot, and I...
All right. Bud, you're way off, man. You're way off. It's like trillions, 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 okay? All right, we're going to be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Trillions.
Yes, trillions. Where you been, Jack? We'll be right back, world-famous Phil Henry Show here, with more of this fine discussion about health care, and it's so erudite.
Well, I didn't... What, are you calling me an idiot?
I'm not calling you an idiot, no. You answered Bud's questions, and what are you going to do? We'll be right back, world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
You're the guy who's all talking about Bush. Show.
Yeah, we all, you said Obama was good, too. And isn't that right? Or have you changed your mind?
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
But about the meningitis.
Yeah, I really should get back to this meningitis story. This is a very serious story. It's a very important story. What happened was this, folks. There's a company in Framingham, Massachusetts called New England Compounding Center. And there was a drug or a pain medicine that they produced that has caused, it has been determined by the FDA and by federal and state officials, that it caused the deaths of 16 people and sickened more than 200 people. And while investigators from the FDA regulatory section have been in and out of the company's office since early October, this is, of course, you know, we're only talking about a couple of weeks now, Tuesday, that was today, soon to be yesterday, appeared to have been the first time criminal investigators were on site. So now there is a criminal investigation. Now, an agency spokesman confirmed the agents from the FDA's Office of Criminal Investigation were there. Among the possible violations it investigates are making and selling unapproved drugs and illegally importing FDA-regulated products.
So what does that mean? Were they...
Let's just read on. That's some reporter saying, well, here's what they do. Is that got something to do? So I don't know. A spokesman for New England Compounding, Andrew Pavin, said the agents had come down with a warrant.
What's that? Is that a sick? Is that an illness?
Is what an illness?
What do you mean? They came down with a warrant.
No, they came down with a warrant. They came with a warrant for, you know, arrest.
Oh.
Is it an illness? Images of the entrance of the company were cordoned off. Now, late on Tuesday, the company's lawyer, Paul Sorrell, objected to what he called a search. It's difficult to understand the purpose of this search since we have been, blah, blah, you know, I'm sorry, folks, some of this has been badly printed. Since we have been cleared, I think is what it says, New England Compounding Center should be provided with documents. We've been clear that warrants weren't needed. We were clear, he said, that we would be fine with people searching the premises. They didn't need to have a warrant. A spokeswoman for the United States Attorney's Office in Boston, Christina Sterling, said the warrant was sealed. Its details were not publicly available. The attorney's office also announced it was investigating New England Compounding, though no officials from that office were at the company. This is the U.S. attorney. The action comes as Representative Edward J. Markey, a Democrat from Massachusetts who represents the district where the company is based, sent a letter to Attorney General Eric Holder demanding an investigation into whether the company had violated laws on which controlled substances can be sold. Last week, Richard Blumenthal, a Democratic senator from Connecticut, demanded that Mr. Holder begin an investigation into New England Compounding. Also last week, Governor Deval Patrick of Massachusetts said that New England Compounding had, quote, misled investigators, engaging in what appeared to be illegal violations by selling large quantities of drugs without an individual patient name for each prescription. But federal officials Tuesday warned the public not to jump to conclusions. In a statement, Carmen Ortiz, the U.S. attorney, said, I think it is entirely premature to suggest what the results of the investigation will be. The drug implicated in the outbreak is methylprednisolone. Methylprednisolone acetate. It's a steroid. Okay.
That's a steroid?
Yeah.
But that's for like weightlifting?
No, it's a steroid for pain management. A steroid for pain management. I had a steroid shot once. As I mentioned, I had a shot in the ribs because I dislocated a rib and it was very painful, and I got a steroid shot. I've taken steroids for my voice so that the swelling in my vocal cords would be controlled. Now, I'm not exactly sure how steroids control that, but that's what I was told by the doctor, and of course, I believed him because doctors don't lie.
You're kidding, right?
No, yeah, of course I'm kidding. I just said that now... Somehow, the federal government believes that this particular drug was contaminated with a meningitis. And, you know, we'll find out. See, the FDA is a regulatory agency. The FDA is government. The FDA is red tape. The FDA is big government. All that stuff that you hear, I mean, what do you want me to tell you, okay? Do I like big government? No, I don't. Do I like federal regulations? No, I don't. And everybody seems to think they know what federal regulations are needed, what federal regulations are not needed. FDA is a great example of a federal regulatory agency that obviously we need. If it isn't the FDA, who's it going to be?
Well, the argument is the state.
That's true. The argument is it could be the state. But we've also seen what happens when we rely on states to enforce a lot of different things, whether it is to protect consumers. What if you've got a state, and if you say the state, you've got Massachusetts, you have Mississippi, we've got all kinds of states. We've got 50 states. We have some states that have a lot of money. We got some states that don't have a lot of money. If somebody is coming down with meningitis in a state where the public oversight, where the protection of public health and public safety is not what it ought to be, and why is that? Well, we just don't have enough money. Okay, so where does that leave the public? I guess they're going to die.
Well, then guess what? Then they get to move out of the state. They can move to a state where they're better protected.
Well, Margaret, that doesn't sound very much like the federalist liberal that you are.
Well, I'm using the argument of conservatives. If, in point of fact, you are not protected, you are being harmed in some way, then why don't you move to another state? Okay?
There you go again, but two syllables.
He's so stupid. I put two syllables to emphasize.
There's no need to go stay hate. Okay.
Yeah, I think I know what state is. You don't have to say state.
Well, I'm emphasizing.
We understand you're emphasizing. It doesn't make it clearer to me. All it does is irritate me when you go, stay hate.
Well, that's you, Phil, because you're very easily irritated. I'm talking to that there, and I'm talking to this one.
Well, you point at me and call me that. Yeah, and call me this one.
Well, what do you want me to call you?
How about their names?
Their name? Okay, what is your...
Name's Bud.
All right, I was talking to Bud, and I was talking to this...
Robert.
Robert.
Yeah, well, I'm talking to that right there, that one.
You better use my name.
Oh, he's got to use your name, but you can't give him the same respect.
I think I am in the role of tutoring. I'm in the role of educating. You understand? So that when these two idiots are sitting here, and...
Let's not call people idiots either, Margaret, okay? Do you mind?
Phil, when these two idiots...
You mind?
Never mind.
I mean, we don't have to. 877... We don't have to call each other nice names. We can insult each other. 877-876-PHIL. Frank Gray coming up next.
I knew it. Frank, you really are going to interview Frank.
Yes, I'm going to interview Frank. I got a couple of questions about a lot of different things. The entertainment business. You, him, the whole thing. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
I got to hear this. I got to go to the toilet. Are we going to be back?
Yes, go use the toilet.
Sorry.
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. You know, we talk about our website because that is our international, that's our, I guess our multimedia home for the radio show. And you can find affiliates for our radio show. You can also find downloads that go back over a decade. You've got full shows over there. We have character clips over there. We have a a connection to our social media sites on Facebook and on Twitter. We're at Twitter at Phil at Real Phil Hendry. That's twitter.com/RealPhilHendry. We got like a lot of Twitter. You have a Twitter account, Margaret?
Yes, I'm over there with quite a few people.
Margaret Gray. So look for Margaret at twitter.com/MargaretGray. Bud, you're there.
Yeah, I'm the Bud Dickman. You want to do it?
Go to, get off the mic, man. I'll do it.
Oh, my God. You're blowing my ears at, you idiot.
Well.
Bud, don't go up and lip lock the freaking mic.
Yeah, man. What's with you, man? What, you think, oh, yeah, right. You probably want to put your lips on it.
Hey, Bud, you're the guy that's lip locking the mic. Anyway, go to Twitter. I'll do it. Twitter.com/.
The Bud.
The Bud Dickman, THEBUDDICKMAN. However, having said all of that, over the course of the next few weeks and a couple of months, actually, our website, our social media, we are interfacing with a new partner. As soon as we get all of that settled, we will tell you who, because they're great people and we want you to know them better. That's going to provide some new opportunities to enjoy our website for you guys that are Backstage Pass members, new Backstage Pass members. We're talking about a mobile site. We're talking about an app. We're talking, and I know that a lot of cats have apps, okay? But we don't rush into the app business because some of them are so loaded up with virus and full of a lot of cheesy advertising. I got no interest in that, okay? Nonetheless,
yeah, watch, man. One you get is probably going to have all that stuff.
Well, that'd be my luck. No, we'll make sure it's cool. So now's the time to get a Backstage Pass at philhendryshow.com. And all I can tell you is we've got more media when it comes to a radio show and when it comes to a funny radio show, one of the greatest, we like to think, in the history of the world. Why, then, it's just a no-brainer. philhendryshow.com. Also, a new podcast is due out tonight, episode 54, right?
Yeah, it's episode 54. It's going to be out.
Right now, we got 53 is on the boards with Lloyd Bonafide. This thing is beautiful. Did you hear this thing?
Uh-oh.
Lloyd Bonafide was arguing, it's out now, and you can download it at iTunes. Lloyd Bonafide is there talking about how, yeah, I'm sorry, I'm elderly, and I ran over a kid. And the only reason why I knew I ran over a kid was the baby carriage was stuck under the windshield wiper blade.
Oh, my. Are you kidding?
No. No. Then he pulled over and he went, huh, how about that? I must have hit some. He said that even though I'm elderly and I ran, you know, nobody's going to put me in jail because I'm too grandfatherly. Nobody wants to put old people in jail. So check it out. It's our free Phil Hendry podcast at iTunes and philhendryradio.com, our free site. So this is kind of, and I was talking to Dan. So Dan, during the break, you got to check this out. This is what this comes under the heading of Phil's household tips or household stuff. Okay.
Did you get the Osterizer or not?
Hold on, Margaret. Let me tell this story before you start asking me about what I did.
Well, I'm just trying to find out. Did you get the glass?
Yes, I did. Hold on. The other night, I make a lot of these shakes because I've been on this diet now since March 19th, as you guys know. I'm at 217 pounds, although I may be even less than that because I didn't get on the scale this week because I don't, you know. I'm now thinking I'm only going to weigh myself every couple of weeks.
Why?
Because it seems that that's the interval. That's how long it takes for me to see each weight loss happen. And as you know, I am targeting the end of the month, Halloween, man. I better be at 210 because I got to start having some fun with my life. I got to start to eat something, man.
Yeah, you're going to pump in a bunch of candy.
I don't care if it's candy. I don't care what I'm eating, man. I got to start to enjoy. I've been on this diet long enough, and I've dropped a hell of a lot of pounds. By the time this thing is all said and done, I will have dropped 79 pounds. That's a lot, man. Almost 80.
Phil, everyone is rooting for you. But you don't want to introduce into your system the very first thing that you have after your diet is a lot of sugar and chocolate and garbage. My God, the squirts. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's very nice, Margaret.
Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you probably talk about a Hershey squirt. It will be a Hershey squirt. Shut up, man. You shut up.
That's real funny.
What's the matter?
Oh, why don't you grow up?
Phil, Bud may be a mental deficient. And he might even be technically a microcephalic, but...
What's that?
Never mind.
Means you got a tiny brain. You got a tiny brain.
Just...
But what Bud is saying is true. If you eat nothing but chocolate and candy and sugar as the very first meal that you introduce into your system, after all of those months of purifying your body temple, my God, the squirts.
Woo!
Okay.
But what are you laughing at?
God, Margaret, what the hell are you, man, in a locker room all of a sudden? My God, the squirts. Woo!
I'm just telling you.
Boy, I bet you've been there.
Let me say something to you. I'm a lady, all right? But I was on a diet, and then I thought I'd have some of Jason J. Delmonico's Halloween candy. He had one that I happened to like called the baby sugar, the baby sugar. You know that one?
No, I don't.
You don't know baby sugar?
No.
My God, it's one of the most famous...
Are you talking about sugar babies?
Sugar babies, that's it, yeah.
Baby sugar? You mean those sugar babies a little...
They're chewy caramel, and then there's another one that's part chocolate and part marshmallow. But the one that I love, and the one, I must have had about a dozen of these, and Frank was saying to me, why are you eating those? Are you hoping that it comes out as solid as those look going in? And I said, my God, you are filthy. And I remember I went home, I took a hotel room that night. I was so disgusted with him.
Okay, Margaret, this story is going on and on and on.
Excuse me. Oh, what's he doing?
Call up Frank.
Don't call Frank.
I want to get Frank on the phone so we can wrap this up so I can move on. Frank said to you what?
I'm talking about my favorite candy in the world, in the whole worldwide, in the wide world web. Or the worldwide, whatever you say, okay? I'm talking about my favorite candy. And I'm telling you, I absolutely love it.
That Frank?
Yeah.
Hey, Frank, how are you?
Man, I'm better than Custer. How are you?
I'm great. We got Margaret here.
Hi, honey.
Frank, listen, they want to ask you about the baby Ruth.
The baby Ruth, yeah, when she came home from Halloween.
Was that what you're talking about, Margaret?
No, I'm talking about my son, Jason J. Delmonico. She went out trick-or-treating, you know.
Okay, yeah.
And she comes back, so he says, oh, and, you know, we do the same thing every Halloween. Every time Jason J. Delmonico would come back, you know, we'd say, hey, let's find out what she got. And so Margaret, he starts digging through, and I dig through. I like, I'll tell you what I like, Phil. I like the, what's the one where the kids, the ones from the Peanut cartoon, and they used to sit on the floor, and they would pretend they were a train. Do you remember that one?
No, I don't. I don't remember that one.
And they checked the box.
Are you talking about Good and Plenty?
Good and Plenty. I love the Good and Plenty. Do they make that anymore?
Well, that's a good question. Good and Plenty? I guess they do. That was a licorice.
Yes. That was a lot of fun, and I used to have it. I'd do that. But Margaret liked the baby Ruth. And I knew that when he ate candy, because Margaret generally eats good food, but every time he eats candy, it's a mess. And you got to go in there with towels.
Frank, what? You know, can you clean it up?
Did the man ask me a question or did she not? She asked me about it, right?
Yes, but you don't have to be specific.
Well, let me tell you a couple of things. When you eat candy, after you've been eating nothing but salads with you and your girlfriends and you think you're all wonderfully cleansed out, and then you eat candy, it was like an ass explosion in there. And
okay, Frank, I don't need to hear the specifics, all right?
Okay, so you understand, I got to get paper towels, cleanser, mops, brooms. It goes on for days.
All right, Frank.
Well, I mean, she asked me, so I'm telling her.
Okay, what I wanted to know, though, was this baby Ruth.
Yeah, so anyway, he says, oh, look, Jason J. Delmonico got the baby Ruth. So, I said, are you going to eat it? And he says, yeah. And I said, well, this time I hope it comes out looking the way it does going in, because the baby Ruth looks like a very compact turd. And
oh, God.
What's the matter?
Well, that's what I'm talking about. I'm trying to show that you are as vile and as vulgar as anything I've ever said or done. And for you to tell the entire audience that I have a little bit of a loose bone, okay?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. Could you speak up?
Okay, we heard it, Frank. I'll let you go, all right?
Thank you. I would like to be let go because I'm watching this wonderful program. You know, it wasn't so long ago that we lost an American president to an assassin. And I'm watching her right now getting her head blown off. And
okay, thanks, Frank.
What was he talking about?
Talking about the Kennedy assassination.
Oh,
watching her get her head blown. All right.
So anyway, and that, you know what? I don't think I'll have another Baby Ruth.
Well, you certainly, you know that Baby Ruth looked like that.
No, I do not.
Yeah, everybody knows a Baby Ruth looked like a turd. You know that?
But if you start in with that, I'll fire you again.
Sorry.
Okay, we'll be right back. That was a whole real meaningless segment, wasn't it? Including hearing about our late president getting her head blown off. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
The other one was daddy, the big daddy, which is shaped like a penis.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
That's okay.
I don't think you should. Phil, you're breaking a confidence.
I don't think it's a bad thing to say.
I think if I were you, I'd ask Ken first.
I don't think it's a bad thing to say at all. Ken, I had a drink with Ken Minyard. Big deal, man.
Yeah, what? Who cares?
I think you're breaking a confidence.
What? Ken Minyard is, and what it was, longtime number one ranked talk show host in Los Angeles. He and Bob Arthur, you guys in L.A., you know who Ken is. And he's a wonderful man. He's a terrific guy and a sweet guy. And I got to know Ken when we were both over here, members of this club. That, you know, no big thing. It was a yacht club. I don't own a boat, you know, but I went over there just because the restaurant was so good and they had a nice bar. And
well, you're a member of a private club and everything. Why aren't you a Republican?
Yeah, that sounds like a Republican thing.
What?
Ken, by the way, is a Democrat. He's a liberal Democrat. What do you mean that's a Republican thing?
Well, what are you doing at a private club?
What this business? It's not a private club. It doesn't cost anything. It costs a few bucks a month. I didn't own a boat. I just went over there because they had a nice restaurant and they had a good bar. But anyway, I met Ken over there. And, you know, we got friendly. Our families did. And I said, well, why don't you come over one time because we make this yucca. And
now the yucca, you have to explain to people.
Yucca is a drink that I learned from Garrett and another family. But it's an amazing drink because it's made with tequila, the juice of lemons and limes, and a cup of sugar and ice. You put that into a 10-gallon jug and you shake this thing for 50 minutes. That's why they call it a yucca party, because you have a bunch of people shaking this jug of booze. You got tequila, sugar, lemon lime juice, just squeeze it right out of the, and then throw the peels in too, and then 3/4, and then a whole bottle of tequila. Don't use good tequila, just use some rot gut.
Jose Cuervo.
Exactly. I'm kidding, it's, you know, whatever. A whole bottle of tequila, and then you shake this thing for 50 minutes. Now, when you uncork this thing, and you drink it, it's like Country Time lemonade. That's how good it is. It's unbelievable. And I used to say, when you drink this yucca, it's more than just getting a buzz on tequila. It's like the best margarita you ever had. It's almost like there's some other aspect to it, you know.
Well, you used the analogy of LSD.
No, I did not.
Didn't you say hallucination?
No, I did not. I said it was like an upper almost. So I had some of this. I made this yucca for my birthday party one year, and Ken Minyard and his wife came over, along with some other couples. They're nice people, okay? Jesus, Margaret. I can't say I had the guy over to my house.
Well, I just think it's violating a confidence.
What? But the reason why I'm bringing up Ken is because he took a sip. He was drinking this with us, and he looked at me and he goes, you know what? You're right. He says, I don't know what it is, but it is different. And that's when he began to do somersaults.
Really?
No, I'm kidding. No, it didn't. Not really.
Well, what happened? Did anybody pass out?
No, no one passed out. But he made the comment it was different. There was a different quality to it. So, because Dan and I were saying, well, what's the meal that you're going to have, Phil, when you finally break your diet? And I said, well, I suppose there's a healthy meal, and then there's one that I would just like to have, you know.
Well, I don't think you should, and Dan's absolutely right. You should have sensible foods, nothing that will give you gas or that will cause any kind of loose stool. Now,
Margaret, do you have to get into these conversations every time?
Phil, I'm telling you what would be healthy for you. I've been through this before. And
yes, we've already heard. Please don't tell me more about your...
Well, I'm just saying, I think a sensible meal would be probably a steak, broccoli, Mashed potatoes.
Little wine?
A nice wine, yes.
I'm thinking of going over to Maestro's over there in Westlake Village.
Westlake Village? Where are you going to go with Elmer Fudd?
Elmer Fudd!
That's what you sounded like.
Okay, I'm sorry. I said Westlake Village.
No, you go. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Here's what you did, see?
You went, okay, man, you don't have to get a big build-up on the thing. I know what I did, bud. I said Westlake Village.
Yeah, you're hysterical, man.
Okay, great. God. So, yeah, I'm thinking about doing that, going over there and... Or if I don't get a steak and I don't get any mashed potatoes, I'm going to get... I'm just going to just take, as you know, all kinds of Halloween candy and just shovel it down. I don't know what it's going to be. Right now, as I said, I'm around 215 to 217. I'm giving myself till the end of the month to get the weight off, and it will come off because I'm going down to 210. And now I'm almost like anorexic. Now I'm thinking, how about 200?
That is dangerous. And that's exactly what Dr. Emery told you not to do, didn't he?
No, he didn't say anything about that. He just said he thought I should stop at 220.
Yes, and then you talked him into 210.
I didn't talk him into anything. I said, my plan is 210. And he goes, yeah, you know what, Phil, you're right.
Oh, yeah, right. I'm sure he just went, oh, Phil, you know better than me.
No, he didn't. He's named. Look, Dr. Emery's a great doctor. He's not going to do anything that he doesn't think is healthy. But he said, what do you want to do? I said, I want to go down to 210. And he said to me, well, you know, he thought about it. And he said, okay, that makes sense. Yeah, I think you're right. You can do 210. So that's what it was. It wasn't any kind of big, you know, I didn't have to harangue the guy and talk him into it. I just feel like 210 is a better weight. And frankly, I'm no different a guy than I was in my 20s, except I'm older, but why can't I be the same weight that I was then? I was 195, 190 pounds back then.
It will be impossible for you to get down to 190 pounds. Are you mad?
No, why?
Because you're a different man now, Phil. Everyone knows, but after a man hits 40, his ass gets bigger, his thighs get humongous.
You're talking about women.
I think, yeah, you are talking about women.
Oh, I'm talking about women, am I? You know, bud, everything you say is basically you begging me for the right hand, right...
For the right hand where?
Please let me kick his ass.
No.
Please.
No. It was all set up for the Yankees. Raul Ibanez, their postseason hero, was at the plate in the top of the ninth with the tying and go-ahead runs on base. Justin Verlander was on the bench, and reliever Phil Koch was on the ropes. But in an at-bat that took on the look of most every other Yankee, the mighty Ibanez struck out. And just like that, it's win or go home for the Bombers. Verlander dominated for most of the night, leading the Tigers to a 2-1 win in Game 3 and a commanding 3-0 lead in the American League Championship Series. Verlander allowed one run on three hits over 8 1/3 innings, striking out three without walking a batter, and Eduardo Nunez... Leadoff homer in the ninth cut the lead to one run. Verlander handed the ball to Koch with one out. With two out, Mark Teixeira singled, and Robinson Caruso.
Kano
added. I'm sorry, I'm not a baseball fan. Added.
Yeah, you sound about as lame as a lot of these people who don't like sports.
I like sports, and I followed sports. This year, I haven't followed the baseball. Sorry. Robinson Cano added another single, snapping an 0-for-29 slump. Do you love that? I love to see that when a guy is 0-for-29 and they still put him in there, and that's a great manager, see? That's a great manager.
What's 0-for-29?
At 29 at-bats, he didn't have a hit. 29 times he went up to the plate, and he didn't have a hit. And the manager says, go on, kid, go out there and get it done, you know? That shows that's a good manager because he knows it's just a matter of time before a guy busts out of a slump. I wouldn't, you know something? If I owned that team and the guy put him in 0-for-29, the kid went 0-for-30, I wouldn't fault the guy at all and say, sooner or later, the kid's got to come out of it. And when, you know, what better time than in the playoffs? So this kid has a single. He snaps an 0-for-29 slump to put two runners on, but Koch struck Ibanez out with a nasty 3-2 slider to end the game and leave the Yankees on the brink of elimination. That's okay. Yanks, there's always next year. Sorry, that's not a very good...
Yeah, that's great, man.
We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. Yeah, the Tigers. I'll tell you one thing about the playoffs this year. It's got classic matchups. Tigers, Yankees, Cards, Giants. Love it. You got to love it. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show. right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. If you're watching Phil TV in HD, what we did is put on the screen here the famous Pete Rose-Ray Fosse collision, and I'll play it again. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this up is because we I had a very nice comment from a gentleman on Facebook who gave us the history. This early scene here is Pete Rose of the Reds. There's Pete Rose as a member of the Phillies, but now we're going to see the All-Star game in 1970. Here's Rose taking a lead. There's a hit by, it looks like a Dodger. Now Pete Rose is rounding third. He's heading home. Ray Fosse is at the plate. And watch this collision. Boom. And look at Ray Fosse is obviously hurt. You can see Fosse is sort of on his knees, stunned. Now, was he safe? Look at the umpire. What's the umpire calling? I guess he's safe. Look at Rose is looking down at Fosse, wanting to make sure he's okay. And now there's that ugly kisser of Pete Rose, probably explaining what a bitching guy he is. So I guess he was safe because he's being congratulated there by his teammates.
Man, that's bad. That Fosse looked like he got hurt.
Well, now I want to read you a very nice comment on Facebook by Harrison Cloak, who is one of our Facebook fans. He says, Phil, you know, enjoy the show. I wanted to comment on Pete Rose, Ray Fosse. It happened during the 1970 All-Star game in Cincinnati. Pete was trying to score in the bottom of the ninth inning to give the National League the win. Ray Fosse was a catcher for the Cleveland Indians. See, I thought, what made me think he was a member of the Mets? Because I wasn't thinking. He was a catcher for the Cleveland Indians, playing as a backup in the American League All-Stars. He was later traded to the Oakland Athletics and was a member of the three-time World Championship team. Obviously, Gene Tennis was the catcher for those teams. I guess Fosse was the backup. Am I right about that? The collision did result in Fosse having chronic knee problems through the remainder of his career. Hope you enjoyed this story. Have a great night. Thanks very much, Harrison. I did enjoy the story. Because first of all, now I know that Ray Fosse was a member of the, you know, the Cleveland Indians and not the New York Mets. I had no idea. But when you look at that collision, man.
Yeah, that guy, and there's all Pete Rose going, hey, yeah, how bitching am I? And that guy, he almost killed that guy.
See, this is why I don't like. What is the point of that? And you want us to teach children that?
No, did I say teach children that?
Well, sooner or later, these little boys that play baseball or Little League, they're going to learn to engage in that kind of thing. Do you want a child to die before he's even 10 years old?
You know, Margaret, that I don't. And you don't teach children that. You don't teach them that. You teach them how to slide. You teach them how to slide, a traditional slide. You don't teach them how to barrel into somebody. I'll tell you what, anybody who teaches a kid at the Little League level, anyone that teaches kids how to attack the skill of base running, which is a separate skill in and of itself, by colliding with a player in that manner, is not a responsible teacher. Because I don't think you teach a kid that. You learn that in high school. You learn that in college. You learn that in the minor leagues. You know, not as a little leaguer. No.
Well, you know, there are men out there that want these kids to be little miniature, tiny. Whatever this guy, Pete Rose, or what, is that his name?
Pete Rose, yeah.
They want them to be these little guys that, you know.
I understand that. And they're irresponsible. But the fact of the matter is, that's baseball. That's what you have to do, okay? Pete Rose has been long heralded as one of the great base runners because he was an aggressive base runner. And he got a lot of hits, and he was on base a lot. He was very valuable to his team. Now, he rolls into Ray Fosse there, and Fosse, for the rest of his career, had, you know, leg problems.
What about, here's the man that you're not talking about. You think that that's so bad. What about Ty Cobb?
What about Ty Cobb?
Yeah, Ty Cobb, man, he's a racist. He's a lowlife, man. Hey, you're talking about Tyronius Cobb.
What do you mean, Tyronius Cobb?
But ain't that his name?
Well, how do you know?
Gotta be something like that. Got a name like Ty's, especially if you live in a day what he lived in, probably named like Tolunian Cobb or something like that.
Tolunian Cobb.
I don't care if it's corn on the cob. What do you think of that? Mr. C, corn on the cob, C-O Cobb. C-O-T Cobb.
What's C-O-T Cobb? Corn on the cob?
Yeah.
Was that his name?
No, it was Ty Cobb.
Yeah.
What about it, bud?
Well, he's the guy saying Ty Cobb was a stinking foul racist, man.
Wait. Hold the phone here. Are you getting Ty Cobb mixed up? Ty Cobb was an ornery guy. He was a mean guy. Are you getting him mixed up with, like, Cap Anson, guys like that?
Who?
Well, there were cats that were known as rabid racist bastards, and there were guys that were just known as scumbags. I don't know. Ty Cobb was probably a racist. I don't know. But what are you going to do, man? It's just like white people in those days.
Yeah, all they had were white people playing baseball back then.
Yeah, that's all the only ones that played it good.
Are you nuts, man? They had black players out there at that time played just as good.
If they played just as good, why wasn't they famous?
Bud, are you an idiot or something? They had a black national, they had the black major leagues because it was segregated, right?
Yeah, but nobody ever heard about them.
Yes, they did. If you followed the black major leagues, you heard of a lot of those players. Josh Gibson, Satchel Paige, that's just the cream of the crop, man. Those are the two most famous. But there were all kinds of guys, and there were a lot of guys that came out of the black major leagues that played in the major leagues eventually. One of them was Hank Aaron. Another was Jackie Robinson, guys like that. So what are you saying just because nobody ever heard of them?
Well, how come they didn't play with the white guys?
Because they wouldn't let them, man.
They didn't let them in those days. They didn't let them. They didn't want them to.
Yeah, Jackie Robinson did.
Yeah, because eventually they did let them, man.
That sounds too pat.
Hey, bud, quit being stupid or I'm going to belt you.
Yeah, see? You see what I'm saying? That's what he does. That's what makes me want to strangle the life out of him.
I understand, but you're being contrary again, man.
Why can't I have my opinion?
Because I know you're full of crap. I know you don't believe half the stuff you say. You like to bait people into an argument.
Why?
You got a black girlfriend. You know, you and Robert hang out. You're not a racist, so quit trying to pretend like you're one.
I'm just asking the tough questions what need to be asked in this day and age.
Man, you're even dumber than I thought you were. When I first met you, I thought you were dumb. Now, I think you're even dumber than that.
So, well, okay. So now your opinion's changed. It shows what a loyal friend you are.
Oh, boy.
You are something else. You're dumb. They ought to package your kind of dumb and sell it to our enemies, to the enemies of America. Here, have some dumb. Thank you. Don't mind if I do.
That's not a bad idea. What?
You really are, man. You're something else. You're something else. You know, I mean, look, all of this bullcrap aside, whatever. You know, I'm talking about just interesting ballplayers, okay? Can we just forget about white, black for just a second? Just for 5 seconds, can we forget about that? Is that okay?
I don't care.
Yeah, well.
I'm just talking about we're talking about base runners, guys that ran the bases. Now, Ty Cobb, this guy you're talking about, Margaret, was an ornery SOB. Everybody hated his guts. One of my favorite things to do is to go through these New York Times front pages that I have. And for some reason, I don't know why, but I stumbled across an article. This is on the front page. This has nothing to do with baseball, but it was on the front page of the New York Times from the 20s. And it says major leaguer or slugger, you know, the terms they used in those days, right?
Yeah, they would say slugger.
Yeah. Major league slugger Ty Cobb arrested in Detroit for assaulting grocer. Oh, my God, this is funnier than hell. You got to be kidding me, man. I mean, I know that Ty Cobb, you know. It turns out that his wife came home, Ty Cobb's wife came home, and said something to him like, that grocer down at the corner is a real jackball because he did this and he did that, something. So there's Ty. You can well imagine Ty Cobb.
Yeah, he's probably sitting listening to Amos and Andy.
I'm gonna fire you again, man.
No, I didn't mean that racial.
Then why'd you say Amos and Andy?
I'm sorry. I meant to say something else. Like, okay, so he's sitting, he's just listening to, like, the news.
Okay, great. So he's sitting listening to the news, or whatever he's doing. In comes his wife, that grocer at the corner, this, that. The next thing you know, Cobb is out of the apartment, down the street at the grocery store, beating up this grocer because of something he said to the guy's wife.
Well, what was it, do you know?
Well, I think it had something to do with a disagreement over the transaction, that Mrs. Cobb thought the guy shortchanged her or whatever, but this thing made the headlines in the New York City paper from Detroit. Now, that shows you at that time, you know, things were not as widely reported in those days because simply the lines of communication were not what they are today. So for you to make national news, you got to be some kind of a big deal. That's a story that is not going to make the front page of the New York Times, a Detroit grocer getting into a fight, if it's anybody other than Ty Cobb. And the fact that that was a Ty Cobb story, a non-baseball story, I just had to laugh because he obviously in his life, he was just a guy who had a bad temper.
What was his problem? Didn't he see his father murdered?
His father was murdered. And I'll tell you what happened to Ty Cobb. His mother killed his father, thinking that he was an intruder coming into the house one night. She picked up a gun and shot and killed her husband, Ty Cobb's father, believing him to be an intruder. Now, that was the story that she gave the judge. That's the story she gave the attorneys. And that's the story that stuck, because I don't believe she was ever remanded to. She wasn't incarcerated for it, I don't think. Ty Cobb was bitter about that for the rest of his life. He grew to become an extremely ornery guy. He sharpened the spikes on his cleats. He slid into second base with the cleats up high, preferably right toward a guy's face. And he looked to spike you. And he had those cleats sharpened to like a dog's teeth.
Man.
Yeah. And he jammed those spikes into the ankles, into the shins, into the thighs, into the upper body of any guy that was in his way. There was a reason why Ty Cobb had the most hits in baseball until Pete Rose came along and broke the record. So, and then later in life, there was a very famous article written in Life magazine. You got to find this one, you guys. A writer for Life magazine found Ty Cobb somewhere in Las Vegas. I don't know. It was around 1960. Ty Cobb at this time is 70 years old. And it is a story that you will never forget. This poor writer put himself at the mercy of Ty Cobb for 3 days. And that included racing down the mountainside in an automobile at breakneck speeds. This guy thought he was going to die.
What, the writer?
Yeah.
So he was staying with Ty Cobb.
He had access to Ty Cobb for 3 days. I don't know whether he was living at his house, but there are stories there of a gun coming out and Ty Cobb playing with this gun, of Ty Cobb racing his car down a mountain, of him getting angry and pissed off over certain questions, of him talking about guys whose asses he kicked. Ty Cobb went into the stands and beat up a guy who was sitting in a wheelchair one night because he was heckling him. Ty Cobb got into a fist fight with a former player at a banquet 20 years after both guys had retired. When the guy said to Cobb something along the lines of, you remember when you slid into home plate and you were called out? And he goes, yeah. Well, guess what? You were really safe. Like that. And Cobb immediately swung on the guy.
Oh, my God. Well, he was obviously mentally ill.
There was definitely some kind of a rage, borderline personality thing going on with Ty Cobb, yeah. But you got to find this article in Life magazine. This guy put his life on the line. You won't believe it. It's fantastic. All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with other scintillating bedtime stories in just a moment. PhilHendryShow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So, did we clean up all the business we had to clean up tonight? I brought down my big...
You want to show?
Here it is. Okay, this is the Osterizer. I know it's dirty. This is my new glass Osterizer. It had, you know, banana shake in it. That's why it's dirty. Now, the reason I'm showing you that is because I had to buy a new one. For those of you watching Phil TV, and you guys just listening on the radio, I've got a brand new glass Osterizer blender. And if you're a fat slob like I was and you want to go on a diet, one of the things you need to have, one of the things you should have, one of the things you better go get is a blender, Jack. Get a blender.
Why?
Because you're going to want to be able to, when push comes to shove, you can get the necessary calories, and you can stay away from all the unnecessary carbs by making yourself some kind of a blended vegetable or fruit shake, man. That's what you want to do. Because you can combine different things, and it'll be nice.
What is the shake that you make?
I make bananas, that's all. Just bananas, and I was telling Dan, I went out and I got the... Because I usually use that whey protein, but I went out and I got some of this protein powder that has vanilla flavoring, you know.
Man, that stuff's got sugar in it, though.
Well, it's only 20 calories more than the regular one. What the hell, man? I just said, I'll do it. Because my kids are all, you should get the kind that has cookies and cream, and they also have chocolate, and they also, I don't want to do that. But, well, what happened was the other night, I had a old Osterizer plastic blender. And generally, when I'm off the air, and it'll happen here again in about 10, 15 minutes, I go and I take a blender, or whenever I get home, and I load it up with ice, and I load it up with some protein powders, bananas, whatever the hell else, and water.
What? No milk, huh?
No, no milk. No way.
Whoa, man, that must taste lousy. No, it's like a smoothie or something, right?
Yeah, you don't no milk. No, milk sucks. I don't drink that crap anymore. And I don't even drink that soy milk. I don't drink any of that stuff anymore. Water is fine. So I turned the blender on the other night, right? And I look back and I see all kinds of banana and protein powder and stuff squirting out of the side of my blender. The damn ice had blown a hole right in the side of this blender.
Well, what in the hell are you putting in there?
Yeah, what are you mixing?
It's got nothing to do with what I'm... What do you mean? What do you think I'm mixing up? Nitroglycerin? It was a hole that was blown in the side of the blender.
Well, it must have been something.
Yeah, it was the ice. I think a piece of ice. Because, you know, I'm crunching the ice up.
You're not supposed to do ice in there.
Yes, you are. Who says you can't?
Well, don't you have to get a special machine to do ice?
No. You get a special machine. You put the ice in there and you chop it up. They got it. You ever seen the chop function on a blender?
Uh-oh.
Well, then I don't know what to tell you. But
But you're telling me that the blender you own was such a cheap piece of junk that a piece of ice blew a hole in it.
I'm telling you that the blender I owned was so old and so battered and beat up that, yeah, eventually it became compromised, the plastic in one point of the blender, and bang, just a piece of the plastic blender container blew out and the whole thing came shooting out the side. So that's when I guess it's time to get a new blender.
Yeah, well, that's a good way to know, though.
Well, not really.
Why?
Because I'd rather know that I need a new blender before the old one, a hole blows in it and it's spewing shake all over the place, you know?
Well, Phil, you said it was old and you already had a new one bought, right?
I did. I had gone out and I bought a new one, but I was like being lazy. I don't have to unpack that yet. I'll just keep using the old one until the old one.
The old one did what it did, man. It blew up.
It did. You're right. It didn't blow up, but it definitely just as bad. So that thing is in the garbage, and I got the new one, and that's what you got to have, man. You should always have a blender, you know, if you're a fat slob, because you want to blend up some stuff and quit eating all that other stuff, you know.
So you're going to Maestro's, and you're going to have a steak, and you're going to have mashed potatoes, and what else?
I don't know, maybe some asparagus, probably just like a normal meal, you know, and a bottle of wine, and who knows, you know. But that's a ways off still. I still got probably 6 more pounds. And you know how it is, man? Those are the slowest. That's the longest run of your life, man, those last 6 pounds. All right, so as we mentioned, thank you, by the way, everybody on Facebook talking to us and saying hello. And I appreciate also, I wanted to mention another letter we got over there on Facebook. And we do have our BSPs, and I should be acknowledging our BSPs on the air here because they're over commenting and talking about the show as well. But our Facebook fan page, some people have made some nice comments. This is one. It's just a message I got from a Michael Dietrich, who is talking about having you in the studio, Margaret. As you know, we've gotten some people who have been rather critical of that move.
I don't care.
Well, that's okay, you know. But he said that he enjoys it, and he likes the fact that you're here, and that he is enjoying us evolving the product and, you know, all that stuff. And he said, keep up the good work. And we said, thank you very much, Michael. Here he is. I actually said, thank you, brother.
Yeah, I saw that. I wrote that down for you.
Don't tell anybody.
Oh, yeah, you're not even... Yeah, Robert doing it.
No, just that one time. Phil, thanks for delivering. I'm glad to stay a BSP when you update your product and follow your own creative instinct. Margaret in the studio adds a great dynamic, in my opinion.
Well, thank you very much, Michael. It's very nice.
All right. And then he said, it's good to hear you're at peace. That means you will probably continue to deliver and expand your business. Keep doing what you do, Mike. Thanks, Mike. Very, very kindly.
Everybody talking about business now. I've never heard of so much business being discussed.
Well, that's the world we're living in now. We're living in the world of business, baby. We're living in where the artist has to become a business person as well. If you're out and you're doing radio shows, TV, whatever you're doing, you must become your own business manager. You can't leave it to other people anymore. You have to control every aspect of your life. You have to put the your accountant in a headlock and run his head into a door. I'm kidding. I would never do that with our good, close, personal friend, Mitch. But you do have to, you got to keep your eye on the ball. Well, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by our good friend Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Hendry. Online at philhendryshow.com as well with a backstage pass. You can get yourself thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of downloadable material. You can watch our video cast each and every night. You can download our Milwaukee Lion games. We just put another one up. It was the Lions against the L.A. Tan. I ain't going to tell you the final score until a whole hell of a lot later in the week. How about that? So I won't get anybody mad at me. And you can also, of course, take part in our news feed and look at some of our TV pilots and look at some of our other videos in our video archive. Until tonight. No, yes. Until tonight at 10 o'clock. What is today? Tuesday. Until tonight at 10 o'clock. Let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.